Thank you. Well, I want to also greet you on this wonderful Easter morning. The dear folks from Pleasant Hill and Chevron also bring their greetings to you. As most of y'all know, this is my third worship service of the morning, and it is great to be here with you. Sometimes I have to figure out which service I'm in, but besides that, we have it all together, so it's a beautiful thing. I would ask you, if you would, to join me after the invocation for a confession and pardon, which will be on page 8. So let us hear this prayer. We thank you, O Lord, for inviting us to your house. We know that this is a home made of human hands, but is inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is a place that God has given us to worship and to proclaim. It is a place that we have come on this day to say again and again, He is alive. Christ is risen from the dead. We praise you, Lord, for the risen Christ, for the love that it comes to us through Him, and for the power of that Spirit that is part of us. Now let us worship you in the fullness of this day, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and in the strength of your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would ask that you would find your hymn books and turn to page 8, or you will see it on the screen. Stand if you're able and join me in the confession and pardon. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please remain standing, and we're going to sing a few hymns about resurrection. Sorry about that. We're going to start with Up from the Grave He Arose, then we're going to sing Christ the Lord is Risen Today, and then we will end that with He Lives. So page 332, Up from the Grave He Arose. 322, sorry. I was looking at 322 in the hymn book, in the thing said 332, didn't it? Thank you.
Each toil of ours away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph. Oh, his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign.
He arose,
hallelujah, Christ arose.
Now page 302, please. Verse, please.
Lives again a glorious King.
Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting. Alleluia. Was he died our souls to save. The day of his appearing will come. course Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Does He live within our hearts? Does He walk with us each step of the way? Does He give us a hope and a joy that is beyond our expectation? Or are we disappointed with God? How do we find our place in life, and how do we find our place in our walk with God? Are we willing to take those steps that God would change us? One of those steps that we take and change is prayer. Prayer makes us different than anything else we could do, because the essence of prayer changes our being. Why? No one has ever been in touch with God and not been changed. It's impossible. So let us pray together. We come this day, O Lord, with prayers and concerns upon our heart and our soul. We pray that You allow us as a family of God to share them with each other, to be with each other in those prayers, and to thank God for the listening of the Holy Spirit and the listening of our Lord and Savior as we hear those prayers spoken and know that they are answered. We ask, O Lord, that You would be with those that are lifted up among us, that we would hear their names called to each of us. So allow us together as a family of God to lift holy names in prayer as we are led to do so. Lord, in Your mercy, hear the prayers that have been prayed, and let us in them rejoice in the answer. Now this Easter morning, when the dead in Christ, Christ Himself has risen, let us praise You and give thanks for You. Let us open our soul to You, and let us be alive in the Spirit. Now may God's blessings be upon us, and let us continue worshiping the very God of creation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'd ask our ushers to come forth this time. Let us pray together. Now, in the gift of love, let us give the love back. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Two anthems and 17 hymns later, it's time to preach. So, everybody ready? All right, if you would find your Bibles, either the ones that you have brought or the ones we have provided for you in the pews, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 18. Everybody ready? Found it? Ready to go? Let's stand as the Lord leads you. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said two things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ allow these words that have been read, in themselves, words given from God, to change us, move us, and be part of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the scene has been set over the whole Lenten season for this moment. Maundy Thursday, we celebrated the Last Supper, in which Jesus announces to them that he's going to be betrayed and denied and that he is going to die on the cross. He also says to them that he must be raised from the dead, and yet, as the theme has followed throughout the entire time, they do not get the part about being raised. So we come to this morning as we read the scripture, and before dawn, they go and the women go to see Jesus. Mary Magdalene is the one mentioned here in this text. And they go to see Jesus to prepare him or finish preparing him for his burial that has already taken place, but work still needs to be done. So they get there, the stone has been rolled away. Mary goes in and finds that he is gone. And so immediately she turns and runs and finds Simon Peter and John, one whom Jesus loved, as some texts say. And they race back. Now, John's younger, so he wins the foot race. Okay? He gets there, but notice what John does. John's not Peter. Y'all have some Johns in your family, and you have some Peters in your family. John's not Peter. John runs, and he looks. What does Peter do? Peter doesn't look. Peter's Peter. He goes right into the tomb. He's going to find out what is going on in there. He gets in there, and there's the linen cloth. There's the headpiece that is folded on the side. He sees that. Finally, John comes in, and there's this text there. It says, and he believes, but notice the next sentence, if you've still got your Bibles or as we read it, they did not know yet that he had to be raised from the dead. Wow. So they're at the tomb. They're inside. It's empty. They haven't yet figured out to be raised from the dead. And the next sentence just always perplexes me. Just think about it. You've went, you found a tomb where the one that you followed for the last 3.5 years or so is not there anymore. Everything's set up with the linen cloth and everything's there. And you look in, and after you see it, do you notice what they did? Went home. I mean, went to the house. I mean, now I'm just thinking. I can't find anywhere that it says that they were told to go back to the house. And if they'd been told, they wouldn't have got it anyway, so it doesn't matter. So they go home. Now, we don't know if they lingered 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour. We have no idea. But eventually, they just go back to the house. Now, would y'all do that? You go to the graveyard of one of your dear friends who you've loved all those years. You show up. Ms. Terry, you show up. You get there. And the grave is open, casket in your case, not in his case, just the tomb was unsealed, is open, and the body is no longer present. And your first action is to do what? Go home and sit down and be quiet? Is that what y'all would do? What the disciples do? They go to the house. I can just hear the conversation now. Hey, John. Yeah, Peter. Well, that was interesting, wasn't it? What do you think? Anything go on in there that would surprise you today? No, just same old Jesus thing. I mean, you know, it just happens the way it happened, you know. And so, okay, we'll just sit here and see if something else occurs, you know. And then they're just hanging. You know, just say, well, okay, what's for lunch? You know, it got through Passover, there'll be some leftovers. You know, what's going on? I mean, I just want you to see this moment. I want you to live the moment. Now, Mary, she stays. Ladies, Mary stays. The guys go to the house. The master's his own. They're going to watch. What'd the lady do? Mary, as the one that's in this text, she stays. And then she walks in. I mean, I know Peter ran in, but I'm kind of with John on this. I'm going to peek two eyes before I walk in. She walks in. And what does she see? Two angels sitting there. The scene changed, didn't it? It's still an empty tomb, but there's two angels sitting there, and they ask the question that is so glorious that we miss it. Woman, why are you weeping? Well, she goes on to explain to them that which they already know, but she doesn't know that. And the question of why do you seek the living among the dead is such a fabulous question. You know, I'm afraid we seek the living among the dead more times than not. I'm afraid we look and try to find death before we try to find life. Brittany may get me. She's not in here, so don't tell her I said this, okay? Just let it go. I'll tell you, Mom. I came in this morning, little Red. She has no energy, by the way. Very calm, sedate little child. She walks into me. I walk in, and she looks up to me, and I'm rushing as I always am. And she looks at me and says, Pastor, Jesus died for me. I started just to let her preach. I don't know if y'all made it, but I started just to let her go. She got it. She may not fully have had it and got it yet, but she's got it. So Mary's there, and she doesn't understand. Angels, linen cloth, disciples left. She turns, and she sees someone who she thinks is the gardener. Watch the encounter. Watch it carefully. What have you done with my Lord? And Jesus answers her. Interesting words. Hey, woman, why are you weeping? Sound familiar? It's kind of sound like angels coming to Mary and Joseph. Don't be afraid. Why are you weeping? But here's the encounter part that I want y'all to grapple with. The moment he says her name, remember, the sheep will know me because they know my name. The moment he says her name to her, Mary, out of her mouth immediately is teacher, Rabboni, Rabbi. Out of her very words comes an immediate recognition of who he is because he knows her name. I want you to think about this. Jesus knows your name. Jesus knows your name. Jesus calls your name. Jesus speaks to you through prayer, through the things in your community, to your family. Jesus speaks to you in ways that you may not recognize. Jesus is speaking to you. Jesus wants you to hear that he knows your name. And he's calling you, and he wants you to be part with him, and he loves you, and he cares for you. He knows your name. I always love that somebody knows who I am, even if they don't like me. I love that they know who I am. Isn't it fabulous that somebody knows your name? Well, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all places knows your name. Now she encounters him and starts to hug him, as you can tell by the scripture. He says, not yet. I'm not ready yet for that to happen. But go tell my brothers what you saw. Mary becomes the first missionary of the church. The first proclaimer. And to make everybody a little uneasy, the first preacher. What does she do? To the guys that went home, I just want to hear the conversation she has with him. Hey, you should have hung out. Wish you'd stay at the tomb a little longer. Something might happen. And something did happen. Angels showed up. And better than that, Jesus showed up. And he tells them she tells them everything that happened at that moment. Understand the moment. I come to you at your house or wherever you've went to, and I look you in the eye and I say, by the way, just had an encounter with God. One-on-one, together. He called my name and I recognized him. Now wait, he's coming. He's going to be around. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to Galilee. He's going to be seen by the 500. He's going to heal people. He's going to let you see him. He's going to walk through walls. He's going to do all these things. She doesn't say all that, but she's preparing them for what's going to come. He's alive and lives forevermore. The difference between you and every other religion in the world is one thing. There are some great teachers in other religions. Don't misunderstand that. They teach great stuff. But here's what they don't have. They don't have a risen Savior to worship. They don't have one that's alive and amongst us. On this Easter Sunday morning, I want us to come together and encapsulate the whole Lenten season and think about the living Christ. We began with Ash Wednesday. From dust you have come, and to dust you shall return. We walked through the Lenten season studying the path and the walk of the apostles and disciples and of Jesus as we prepared for this day. We came on Maundy Thursday night to that Last Supper. And in that time we came and we watched and we shared as betrayal and denial was amongst us. And now we come this day to this communion moment. We come to this day to remind ourselves of the journey and remind ourselves of one last thing. The journey has not ended. The journey will never end because Christ will always be alive. If you would join me on page 15 in your hymn book or on the screen, I will read, and you will see most of it. Part of it is from the Book of Worship, so it will actually have slightly different reading, but you'll be able to follow me. It'll be there for you. So let us join together. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And the power of the Holy Spirit, your church, has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now allow us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I ask those who are going to assist this morning to come and join me now. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. We invite you to come and partake as the Lord leads you. Come knowing that God will meet you here. You invited to this table. We are open communion. This is not our church's communion. This is God's communion. And you are part of the family of God. If you meet Christ for the first time as you take this communion, let the Spirit of God change your soul and life and let you be saved. If you come for this time and you know Christ, rejoice in the resurrection. Come as God leads you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. Just put it. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Can he have bread? This is the body of Christ broken for you. Got it? There you go. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Good morning. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. On this Easter Sunday, as many of y'all have seen me done before, or do before, I break this piece of bread as the body of Christ for all of our military, all our first responders, everybody that serves us and cares for us, and leave it on the table. I know they will not eat it, but I want to know that we appreciate them and love them for all they do for us, and for this blood also given by Christ to them, that they would know of God's presence in their hearts.
Please stand with us as we sing Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
Those of us who were around when the 1968 United Methodist hymnal was being used, called then the Methodist hymnal, the last verse was left out. So I can't sing this song without singing all the way down the last verse, because every time we sang it in the other church before the new hymnal, we had to sing it whether we knew the words or not. And so it worked out really well, so we wanted to sing that last one. Well, friends, it's Easter. What are you going to do with it? Go home and eat? Amen. Have something out together as family? Amen. Enjoy the day with each other? Yes. Praise God because you have the day. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Now let us go in peace. In fact, let us have the courage to go in peace. For this world needs peace. We need it desperately. In our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our states, in our country, and in our world. We need peace. Well, it just so happens that we serve the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords, who is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. He is risen. Amen.